www.thefoodnetwork.com. You'll find great articles and news that others are not talking about. TruthsThatFree.com. That's TruthsThatFree.com. This message from First Conservative Baptist Church. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. We're delighted that you're tuned in. We're looking forward to what God's going to say to each of our hearts as we talk specifically about Amendment 3, the Pott Amendment. We have as our special guest today Lawrence Perkins. Lawrence is the chief and CEO for Keep Florida Fresh. And just before the break, we'd introduced Lawrence, and he was talking about his background and why he's involved. Lawrence, continue your discussion, your thoughts on Amendment 3. What does it do? Why is it necessary? Is it necessary? How should citizens vote? How should we see this, et cetera? Think for a moment, share with that, and then after you've done that, we'll take our next caller.
Dr. Youngblood, one of the things that we see in the advertisement, in the promotion by the True Leave organization and other cannabis entities, as well as the trial lawyers, especially John Morgan and his group, they have put a phenomenal amount of money into promoting this. They put up everything from the signs and yard signs all over to the radio and TV stations. And the radio and TV stations are reticent to counter a lot of the claims that are being made by those ads because of the amount of advertising that the trial lawyers and others have done. Mm-hmm. And I think that is corrupting the vision and insight into what actual things are. There are areas that are not discussed, specifically the medical care and the costs associated with the cannabis industry, the things that it impacts the elderly care, the schools and classrooms, and the things that the local schools have to deal with right now before this amendment is passed, and what it will be exacerbating an already difficult situation in bad situation. The work environment and whether employers have the ability to sustain against the lawsuits that will inevitably come from...
Explain that. I understand what you're saying, but I want our listeners to understand. Why would there be lawsuits? Why would there be a problem with the employers and companies?
Well, again, this is an amendment. This makes it a constitutional right for an individual to smoke and use cannabis and THC, mm-hmm. the psychoactive component of marijuana, without encumbrance. That means that they can't restrict someone from using it at home. So those drug tests that they normally give to weed out people mm-hmm. Are really going to be irrelevant because they have a constitutional right to use it. Now, they can prohibit its use maybe while they're on the job. However, one of the things that's a characteristic of cannabis and specifically the THC is that it stays in the system and can have an effect that lasts for days. Mm-hmm. It's not like alcohol that will wear off in a few hours or whatever. But this is actually something that stays in the system and can impair judgment and reaction and their abilities to conduct their functional work. And as you have someone that, whether it's an accident or whether they give somebody inappropriate service or inappropriate information, that opens the employer up to suits from business that they do with the general public.
Absolutely.
Also, any accidents that may occur on the site, any lack of judgment or care that's given to a customer opens them up in a very litigious society that these trial lawyers are really chomping at the bit to take advantage
Absolutely.
Of.
It will destroy our small business in particular. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please. Is Jim there? Jim, go ahead.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
I can't hear you. Go ahead. Hello, hello. I believe we've lost. I believe we've lost Jim. Yeah. So Lawrence says we talk about that as far as the danger to small business and so forth. We have we're a work state in the state of Florida, so that an employer can hire or fire at will based on being a work state. But if this is codified in the Constitution as a constitutional right, then that ties the hands of the employer. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying it can. The threat of lawsuit will be overwhelming mm-hmm. for hiring somebody that is exercising their constitutional right outside of the employed time frame, and what their impact is during that work, if they're not actually actively smoking, but they could still be impaired.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that happens, accidents or otherwise, any poor judgment, any negative impact on the customer, that opens the company and organization up to liabilities that they're not going to be able to avoid.
That's right. I believe we have Jim back on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Hello?
Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
How you guys doing today?
Doing good, thank you. Go ahead.
You mentioned the name John Morgan that really, I can't hear you through my headset. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello?
We can hear you. Go ahead. Jim, for some reason, we're not able to communicate, but thank you so much for your call. If you can get your connection back, perhaps we could go with your question. Lawrence says, we're talking about this way, ladies and gentlemen. This is your telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to have you call in. Love to know your position. Have you voted yet? Did you vote yes or no on Amendment 3? Is it vital to you? Do you think it is important for us to understand that we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we must defeat Amendment 3. We must defeat Amendment 3 and 4, but we're talking about 3 today. I have Lawrence Perkins with us. He is CEO with Keep Florida Fresh, and we're talking about what will take place and if this is passed. Lawrence, in your research, what, in your opinion, would the approval of Amendment 3 in the state of Florida, the big picture, will it hurt, harm, or help? What is the what is your position overall with that?
Dr. Youngblood, I clearly think there's a myriad of areas that are going to have a negative impact, whether you're talking about the automotive insurance and the insurability of individuals and insurability within geographic areas, the health insurance premiums that are going to have to rise to be able to accommodate some of the things that I'll talk about in a few minutes regarding individual, especially youth and young adults, and the chronic impairment that can occur from THC use, the energy and utility industry, the amount of power that's consumed by specifically that facility over in Quincy is unbelievable.
You're talking about power, you're talking about electricity.
I'm talking about electricity mm-hmm. and the drain on the grid. There are housing costs, there are issues regarding law enforcement and its ability to conduct its normal protection of the and safety of the public.
You touch on that, Lawrence, and I think about it, if I can jump in for a moment. In the state of Colorado, since they introduced and passed this same type amendment where it makes legal in the state of Colorado recreational marijuana. Law enforcement has said that it has caused major increase in traffic accidents and in trying to pursue and handle those that have been caught puffing on weed, as I call it, a pot. And there's no breathalyzer, there's no way to test it in the field. So what are your findings in relationship to law enforcement, the end result? Would it be worse in the state of Florida? Will our law enforcement, because you see law enforcement's coming on television saying it's okay, some of them. That's a lie, as we understand it. So give us your overview, research, and understanding from a legal standpoint, law enforcement standpoint, from a moral, ethical standpoint of what will take place in the state of Florida. Just give a broad brush of where we're headed with this if it passes.
Well, certainly the law enforcement organizations wholeheartedly, the majority are against this amendment. Mm-hmm. There are two sheriffs in Florida, again, that are really in compromised areas that are publicly supporting this, but the lion's share of the 67 jurisdictions are led by individuals that are adamantly against this. The ability to restrain use as a constitutional amendment. None of those regulations or restrictions have been defined. The writing of the amendment is such that it leaves much ambiguous the use. It only guarantees that there can't be any, there can be no prosecution or pursuit of civil liabilities.
Explain that.
Well, normal recourse, if you have someone that is served alcohol and you're being served by an individual that knows that you are already impaired, and they go out and they have an accident, there is some liability to that person that is served.
Mm-hmm.
That goes away when you talk about cannabis and anything that might be given to them. Any negative impact by any action of that supply chain, that licensed supply chain, is held harmless. The law enforcement and
that's written right into the amendment itself. It's not on the ballot, but what does it say in relationship to that proposed amendment?
Well, the personal use by an adult may not be subject to any criminal or civil liability or sanctions under Florida law. But then when you deal with the supply chain, which means everything from the producers all the way through to the retailer, to the individual that is selling it across the counter or agents involved in this, they shall not be subject to criminal or civil liability or sanctions under Florida law. Basically, that gives them blank protection. Period.
That's right. And there's not any other product that's on the market today. In fact, the cigarette industry, as you know, and perhaps our listeners understand, a class action suit was filed against the cigarette industry, one major manufacturer and distributor of cigarettes, and they wound up with a judgment against them for billions of dollars as a result of that. But yet this, if it is, ladies and gentlemen, hear what I'm saying, if you vote yes on Amendment 3, you could have a son or a daughter or a mother or father or anybody that's harmed, hurt, or murdered or killed by it, and you have no recourse. You cannot file suit against them. You cannot have recourse for reimbursement for the damages on it. It makes them absolutely free to do whatever they want to. And, Lawrence, I go into that transfer from that thought. They're talking about on television when they run the super slick Madison Avenue production ads for that. They say it is safe, lab-tested, and legal. A safe, lab-tested, what does that mean?
There's no criteria.
None.
That could be anything.
That's right.
You know, one of the things, getting back to the work environment, there's no ability to regulate the outside use of cannabis outside of work. That means that any workplace dysfunction is maybe difficult to address, but Florida's a right-to-work state. However, the lawyers are lining up to sue businesses over anybody that's fired there.
Mm-hmm.
The employee action or harm open up the employee to lawsuits, and that's whether you're a manufacturer, you're in distribution, or any number of the cost of doing business is going to skyrocket. Their insurance rates to protect them against these lawsuits is going to go skyrocket. It's going to drive business out of the state.
Yes, yes.
And it's going to do other things to operating costs that that may not be sustainable. Not only that, but it's likely to drive up the insurance and the insurability of individual employees so that the health insurance of things is going to be directly impacted by that. The workers' comp and medical insurance coverage is unknown how badly this can impact that. Certainly, broadly, this will drive up inflation cost. In terms of automotive insurance, the incidence of additional accidents, as you pointed out, in that Colorado and other states have experienced, dramatically rises. We already have very, very high insurance.
Tell me about it. In the state of Florida.
Yeah. And, you know, again, getting back to, if you are going to destroy or disrupt a society, there are things that you can do to do that. You can try to dumb down the educational system, which we all have our opinions on what's happened over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you introduce something that is so easily ingested, not like alcohol, on campus you can smell something on their breath or whatever, but to ingest a THC-laced gummy or something else, and you have individuals that are either like sedateful, are holding back maybe the entire classroom, or may even be disruptive, it impacts everybody in that classroom. It impacts everybody in that school.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that that are going to be very difficult culturally for us to adjust to.
Clarence, what is your position on, what are your findings when, this, for example, in the state of Florida, there was the, I say for the state of Florida nationally, there was the push to prosecute cigarette companies and manufacturers because people that were smoking in the home, the breathing of the smoke, secondhand smoke, as it was called, caused major, major health problems. Will pot being smoked in the workplace, in the classrooms, in the schools, wafting through the hallways and the corridors, and somebody rebreathing that, is there harm to that?
Well, Dr. Young, I don't know the air exchange dynamics of an individual property or whatever. There are things that in many systems that that try to evacuate things and move air around. However, we do know that secondhand smoke has been known for years to have an effect on individuals.
Yes.
What we also know is that, worse, the secondhand cannabis smoke can impact individuals that are not smoking.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're talking about prenatal care, and I'd like to touch on that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study in Australia of 222,000 mother-child pairs. And what they found is that there's a direct link to ADHD, 98% positive. To the autism spectrum, 94%. To mental dysfunction, 46%. For prenatal exposure to cannabis use disorder mothers.
Mm-hmm.
These are permanent disabilities.
In other words, these are the disabilities for the baby that will be birthed as a result of a mother on marijuana. Is that what you're saying?
It is. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, you have extreme vulnerability to young developing minds. And when you experience that secondhand smoke to those young children in that environment, those cannabinoid receptors are directly impacted. It's not the same for every individual, but if it's your child or anyone's child, we should have a heart to understand that this permanently creates a disability, a potential disability for that child.
Yes.
The inability to learn, to cognitively retain, to maintain short-term memory.
Lawrence, I'm looking at a list of, and you perhaps have that in your research, a list of effects of marijuana. Causes heart disease. It will cause, as you touched on a moment ago, birth defects. It will cause intellectual decline. it alters the sense of reflexive, where you are slow in making. That's where it's harmful in driving. If you have smoked marijuana the evening before or that night, that morning, you're in the car driving and you see something where you need to put on brakes or to do something quickly, you cannot reflexively do that. Difficulty in thinking causes schizophrenia, paranoia, hallucinations, can cause the user to have to depend on my statement, depend on government and others for support because they can't hold a job and mentally, emotionally, physically not able to work. Those are major deficits that physicality harm for those that are on marijuana. But Lawrence, I'm thinking about, again, the research that I've done in the state of Colorado. After they introduced and passed the amendment to allow marijuana recreational use, 547% increase in all crime. Foreclosures went up in a major fashion because people not paying the rent, not paying the house payment, lost their homes. Teenagers and preteens, in fact, one of the ads against this Amendment 3 on television is wonderfully done, and it's a nurse that talks, I think it's a nurse, that's talking about the teenagers being rushed to the emergency rooms. But yet the ads say that this marijuana approval would be for 21 years and older. Tell me what will keep a preteen or teenager from getting their hands on it. They can't go to the shop and buy it, just as with cigarettes, but they smoke. Can a preteen or teenager be able to get their hands on marijuana if this passes?
Well, what we've seen in the past is that that teens acquire alcohol and get access to alcohol.
That's right.
This is much, much easier to be able to pass gummies pass oils that get burned into vape devices. Mm-hmm. And the vape devices being disguised as everything from pens to just about anything innocuous. It is so easy to hide the use of that because you don't have necessarily the smell with vaping cannabis oil. You don't have the other telltale signs that you might have with alcohol, and so it becomes easy to hide. It's also the concentrations are very, very different. The amount of alcohol you'd have to ingest to get the same level of intoxication is vastly different in terms of the high concentrations of THC that are available now in all kinds of forms. One of the things that was striking is from 2018 to 2022, Florida, this state, saw 25,017 alcohol-related vehicle crashes compared with 2,411 marijuana-related ones. The fatalities associated, though, with each were 1,964 for alcohol versus 1,892 fatalities for marijuana. One of the things you touched on a moment ago in terms of the perception of use, a lot of marijuana users perceive that their ability to be aware is heightened. However, their motor skills are sufficiently encumbered mm-hmm. so that they perceive that they're able to operate at a higher level. And they think that they can drive faster, they can do other things. However, their motor skills and their ability to respond are significantly impaired. So you have almost a 10x increase in fatalities for marijuana-related accidents compared to alcohol-related accidents. That's astounding.
Yes. And one of the things that we're being told by this push for Amendment 3 is that it will produce I don't know if they said millions of dollars or billions, millions of dollars for education, for law enforcement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's not true. It was proven in Colorado. It's been proven in California. It's been proven in Washington State. It's proven in Oregon that is not true. In the state of Colorado, for example, in my findings, for every $3.50 they take, every $1 that they take in taxes on marijuana, is a $3 to $4.50 cost for social services for the state to pay out. So it winds up costing the taxpayers to support those that have gotten involved in the marijuana use and addicted to it. And marijuana, ladies and gentlemen, is the gateway to every hard drug out there. A person can't say, well, I'm just going to puff a joint. I'm just going to start out with marijuana, and that's as far as it's going. It's a gateway to every other hard drug. And one of the things that we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about Amendment 3, is for Christians, for conservatives, for patriots, for churches, for pastors, we need to take a stand biblically, realizing that according to the Scripture, our bodies are not our own. We've been bought with a price, and that's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the decisions that's made need to be made based on honoring God in and through our bodies. And ladies and gentlemen, and Lawrence, as we talk about that, one of the things that our listeners need to understand is that pastors need to stand in the pulpit in these last few days and take a stand publicly about how we need to vote and what we need to do. According to the latest George Barna research, but 104 million Christians, and he identified Christians, those that go to church once a month, et cetera, out of 104 million, 17% of them said that they would vote if they were told from the pulpits by the pastor why they should vote and what they should vote for. So it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that we vote and we say no on Amendment 3. Lawrence, what else do you have there?
Well, one of the things I want to make sure that I talk about as we finish up today is that we know that cannabis intoxication can lead to behavioral disinhibition, altered perceptions and judgment, impaired memory, and elevated physiological, including paranoia. Collectively, these factors can heighten violence proclivity and increase vulnerability to violence. That's from a Colorado study. There is a continuous drumbeat in the media regarding assault weapons and a willful choice to ignore the relationship of cannabis use.
Yes.
The media covering the Pulse nightclub in Orlando ignored that. Parkland High School shooting here in Florida ignored that. The Jacksonville Dollar Store ignored that.
That's right.
And so many others, from the Nashville Christian School shooter, the Buffalo supermarket shooter, the Sandy Hook Elementary shooter, and other tragedies, never address the cannabis impact on those individuals and those shooters. This is something that we can't ignore.
Right. We must recognize it. And the key to it is, and I'm astounded by the fact that I'm looking at a headline that says, millions of Christians not planning to vote this November could shape the presidential election. And ladies and gentlemen, millions of Christians across America that's not voting can shape the morals and the ethics and the values and the trajectory for the future of America if we do not vote appropriately. So I challenge you today, ladies and gentlemen, we've got 14 days before November the 5th in the election. We need to take a stand. We need to go to the polls. We need to vote. And we need to vote no on 3 and 4, in particular, on the amendments. Vote no on 3, the cannabis, the pot amendment. And ladies and gentlemen, they claim that it is lab-tested and it is safe. The labs that test it, Lawrence, are those labs that are owned, operated, and controlled by the pot industry. So naturally, they're going to say it's safe to be used because it's their product and they're getting the gain from it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer today that you'll go vote. If you've not already voted, vote. We need to vote our Christian conscience based on the Word of God. Vote no on the pot amendment. That's amendment number 4. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder,